Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. We're hanging out here at our respective studios. I'm in Waukesha.
I'm in Madison.
And you're listening to us in Waukesha on 101 FM, The Shaw, as well as 540 AM, WAUK.
Hey.
And you're listening on WTTN.
Yeah, you're stealing my call signs, man, here.
I don't... Look, dude... It's been a morning. It's been a day, and you know that.
I'm well aware of that, Brian. And I had a feeling. I tried to mentally prepare myself for the day that I would be having today, because I was like, I'm going to be tired. Like, I just need to accept the fact that I'm going to be tired because I'm staying up much past my regular slated bedtime to go to the Badgers game at the Kohl Center, because Kelsey got the tickets. She was like, let's go to this game, it'll be a lot of fun. I was like, yes. We went out to dinner beforehand. We went to the game. It was an 8 p.m. tip-off, which I try to watch the Badgers, especially this season. It's been a lot of fun to watch the Badgers play. But 8 p.m. tip-offs are rough for me, because... Yeah. I don't usually get to watch the whole game then, but by the time they're wrapping up, I've already got to be asleep so that I have enough actual beauty sleep so I can get up and help run this fantastic network of stations that we have going on here and do this great show with you, Dueling Tangents, every day from 2 to 3 p.m. So last night, I knew that not only would I not just be able to turn the 8 p.m. game off and then immediately go to bed, I'd have to like leave the Kohl Center, drive home, do the whole process. And so I prepared myself mentally that it was going to be a rougher day today. But Brian, man, did just the news and the just everything, like, it's just one of those days where not only did I mentally prepare myself, but I was not prepared for how much running around we'd be doing today. So, yeah. And the headlines.
Yeah. You know what? It was always the days that I was doing doubles after a hangover that the restaurant was mysteriously the most busy. You know,
it's like the world knew.
But then back in that day, I used to be able to, I don't know, come out of a blackout while I was counting my money after the morning shift, and then go to my late shift at the bar, because I was doing morning shifts at Maggiano's downtown in Chicago, and then I was doing 4 a.m. shifts at the bar as well, because, you know, yeah, trying to save up to go to L.A. so I could blow all that money within really short period of time. But anyway, the point.
But all those roads led you here to me, and led me here to you.
Maybe it was the drinking. The point is that. You know, right now, if I take, you know, have a couple beers and then go to sleep on time, I'm useless for like 2 or 3 days. So like, and not just like, it's not like the hangover hurts or anything. I can get through that, but like pain I'll deal with, you know, that type of stuff. But it's the fogginess.
Yeah.
It's the fogginess that really just does not work for me.
Well,
and coming into today with fogginess, especially when you have to wrap your head around things like, so Gableman wants information but won't give information, and then
we find out that he's not providing the information that he's legally obligated to provide through the state's open records law. So yeah,
and you know, you have things like the State of the Union last night, which, you know, I didn't watch. I tried to stay sane, and I'm trying to finish the last season of The Wire. I'm trying to catch up from you know, 20 years ago. but you know, trying to keep myself up to date on the latest of when
the latest pop culture, really good shows.
It's really funny because a whole bunch of stuff is downloading from other people referencing it in my past. But
right, which is funny though, because you're still ahead of me because I have not completely.
I highly recommend it. It's, you know, I can't make it. I can't tell you it's cooler than the other people have told you already.
Right.
But the point is that at the State of the Union, I have to deal with, you know, Boebert at MTG or whatever, the Marjorie Taylor, whatever those people are.
Treating it like a stand-up comedy show or something, where they feel like they have the ability to heckle the president giving the address.
In the middle of talking about his son.
Son, yes.
Like timing here, people. Like, there's times where you can go and maybe, all right, insert that. We know something. We know that they're going to go and say, have you looked at me? Have you looked at me? Look at me. But
what about the caravan? What about this? Look over here. I'm screaming obscenities that don't matter.
Yeah, and I don't want to draw too much attention to them, other than just,
no, that was honestly one
where
of the
we're
few,
at.
Right. That was one of the few takeaways, because I, having also not watched it, that was one of the few takeaways that I got from it. Outside of the fact that Biden seemed to have gotten some decent reviews. It seemed like he was kind of taking an approach more to the middle. It seemed like he...
Which is where he wanted to go in the
first
place.
Which is where he is anyway. Like, that's who Joe Biden is as a human through and through. So, again, not very surprising there. I don't think that there were any huge breaking headlines that developed from the State of the Union address last night. I think it's pretty cool and highlights the importance of Wisconsin, that his first stop after the media and press tour that he's doing to highlight the aspects of what he talked about in the State of the Union and his infrastructure bill was Wisconsin. Like, that shows you that the news cycles, we go through news cycles day after day, but the fact that Wisconsin and Wisconsin voters matter so much that it is the first stop on the president's State of the Union, post-State of the Union tour, is pretty important. So Joe Biden speaking in Superior, Wisconsin this afternoon, touting that infrastructure bill. And we got the update as well, though, like you said, with Gableman. It's kind of hard almost to be able to focus on all of the different aspects and the fact
that
this...
That's the whole point. That's why you throw things in the water to muddy
right.
it up.
You flood the zone, and the fact that Gableman is constantly in the news every single day, it makes it a little bit more exhausting. Like, the last thing I want to do is to recap the headlines of this guy that is continuing an election review out of contract, mind you. Like, he let us know yesterday that he is fully Frankenstein's monster because he refuses to die. He was contracted to run through October 31st. He blew past that deadline. Allegedly, we got a verbal extension of that contract to December 31st from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's office with Gableman and the special counsel. And so they blew past that, though. It's March 2nd, Brian. We're supposed to be talking about baseball being canceled and hopes of spring and what is to come here in 2022, and we still can't get past November of 2020 because Gableman refuses to wrap up this investigation.
Well, all right. Well, maybe like a nice strategy game. If they keep trying to go back to the earlier save point and still keep messing it up on the 2020, let's go back a couple of years beforehand, and let's go to it. Let's change subjects completely. I'm going to throw you a curveball that we didn't talk about at all.
Let's do it. Let's hear the tangent. Let's go down the tangent.
We're in the doldrums. We're talking about going back in time and going to get back in time. But let's go back before that. Before Evers was governor. Before all of the evil partisanship that the Democrats have foisted on us. I'm being facetious here because that's completely silly. And let's go to this latest headline here. As Foxconn fails, Mount Pleasant's board votes to extend their term lengths. That's really good, huh?
The members of the board that accepted Foxconn, and correct me let me know if I'm getting this wrong, but what that sounds like is the members that brought Foxconn to Mount Pleasant are now extending their term beyond the regular scheduled end of their term, because they're doing such a great job that they've earned that, Brian, and they're not going to leave it up to the voters. They're just going to be like, this is how long my term is now, and you have no say in it?
Yes.
Oh.
So.
That seems like a really weird thing to do.
I'm just going to read a little bit
All
here.
All right, this let's dive from, in.
This is by Corinne Hess. This is published yesterday in WPR. So, as Foxconn continues to flounder in the village of Mount Pleasant, village board members have voted to lengthen their terms in office. The board voted on January 24th to extend their terms from 2 to 3 years beginning in 2023. According to the ordinance, this is being done, quote, in the best interest of the village's health, safety, welfare, and morals. For the safety and security of the empire.
It's like a hostage taker just being like, oh, no, I got to keep you here a little bit longer just to guarantee your safety, Brian.
This is taken from almost directly from Palpatine's speech when he dissolves the Republic. And to the Galactic Empire. I'm not joking. This is exactly like the words. But residents aren't happy. Within 2 weeks of the decision, more than 1,200 people signed a petition that will force a referendum superseding the January 24th vote. Only 981 signatures were needed, and that's a 7% of the number of Mount Pleasant residents who voted in the last gubernatorial election. Kelly Gallagher, who heads a watchdog group, A Better Mount Pleasant, led the signature drive.
Any relation to the other Gallagher in Wisconsin politics?
I did not look, but there's a lot of Gallagher. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Gallagher, not Gallagher.
Fair enough.
If not, they've just removed the G in twice. So it's Gallagher. All right. So Gallagher, I've knocked on a lot of doors in my life. This was by far the easiest door I've ever knocked in the last decade. I think the most remarkable thing is we are in a time of enormous political divisiveness. Mount Pleasant residents are in complete agreement that the village board overreached and acted arrogantly. That's fantastic.
Now, so that is to stop the term limit extension, or what is what is that?
So they're going around. So basically, she went door to door saying, "Did you know that they voted to extend there? What? All right, do you want a petition to go and stop that? Yes." And they all signed.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty easy door. Like I've knocked on a number of doors myself, Brian, and that sound like I feel like I'm retired from knocking on doors to an extent.
You put in
like
your time,
I've put in a lot of time in that regard. But you might even be able to convince me to sign up for a shift to go do that one, because that does sound
super easy.
Pretty like that sounds like a slice of cake almost. Like
I would hope.
But that interesting headline we got coming out of Foxconn. But.
Yeah, here's a little bit more, because this is even better. Trustee Rambadia said the board is elected to make decisions, and extending the board term is theirs to make. Quote, "It is absolutely not any one of us to gain control, to gain power. Again, you elected us to make a decision. If the community feels otherwise, you have veto power." And then Nancy Washburn said extending the term to 3 years would attract more candidates interested in public service.
So the way
So why did you increase the executive salary who failed and then decrease the worker salary who actually did everything for you? Because we wanted to attract better candidates. Well, maybe you should not pay the person who failed. Just throwing it out there. Yeah, so here's the quote from Nancy Washburn. Nancy Washburn, "Whether you like it or not, Foxconn is here. All of the changes are here. Managing them needs consistency." Adding that she reached out to Democrats and Republicans, and most people thought three-year terms made absolute sense.
"Whether you like this giant turd sandwich or not, we're going to force you to eat this turd sandwich.
But we need consistency
and you
to
need
deal
to be
with the people who are there.
And consistently eat it." That's, oh, my gosh.
Did anyone reach Claude Lois for any commentary? Because he's the negotiator that they're supposed to be negotiating with Foxconn to manage it. Clearly, they have – I don't know
I feel like there's got to be a recall
but amongst
for
that group. Those people have mismanaged the Foxconn thing.
Yeah.
And perhaps – maybe need some better.
That might be a really easy petition as well. I don't know what the recall or I don't know how to remove a village official like that from their office, but that might be a.
But this is a good
petition.
Sign.
Yeah, it's a good sign that the folks in Mount Pleasant are not really going to take it anymore. It sounds like I've
talked to people who are super conservative and super all about the right wing craziness. And then I talk about Foxconn, especially in the Southeast area, and they're like,
"That's awful.
Don't get me started."
Yeah, no, it is definitely one of those topics that you can get a lot of bipartisan outrage about, because signing a deal onto the back of a napkin for roughly $4 billion to then see no results and zero jobs. Well, I won't say zero, but nothing close to the 13,000 jobs that were promised, Brian.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that gets everybody riled up, not just us here on Dueling Tangents. But folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. We got one more segment left in the day, and then we're going to be taking your calls as well in that segment, 844-967-2789. Brian, we got a little Marquette University polling as well that I want to tease, so we can dive into that. And we got a the Devil's Advocates will be doing a deep dive into the polling. So maybe we'll give you a little moose-boosh, little taste. Yeah, and then diving in further with the Devil's Advocates. But folks, this is Dueling Tangents. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.